This is a special report from TPR News. I'm Steve Short. President Trump held a press conference this afternoon declaring a national emergency as the coronavirus outbreak continued to disrupt daily life. At the state level, Governor Greg Abbott declared a state disaster for all 254 counties in Texas. Here in San Antonio, Mayor Ron Nuremberg issued a public health declaration after the first case of COVID-19 was confirmed in the city by a traveler who's not connected to the quarantined people at Lackland Air Force Base. The latter means public events of 500 people or more are prohibited in San Antonio. Numerous events have been canceled, schools have been closed, and fiestas been postponed. Over the next 20 minutes or so, we'll fill you in on the local impact. Let's begin with TPR's Joey Palacios, who covered a press conference this morning with city officials.
San Antonio's first case of COVID-19 came in at 1 a.m. Friday. Here's San Antonio Mayor Ron Nuremberg this morning.
The first travel-related case of COVID-19 in San Antonio was confirmed late last night. This case is related to out-of-state travel, but it is not in any way connected to the federal mission involved in the repatriated cruise ship evacuees at Joint Base San Antonio-Lackland.
The case is not the result of community spread, according to Don Emmerich, director of San Antonio Metro Health.
This individual is in self-quarantine along with their family, and they are in stable condition. This person began showing symptoms earlier this month, tested positive for COVID-19 yesterday, March 12th.
There is an epidemiological study to see where the person went and who they were in contact with. The city has declared a public health emergency that will last for 7 days. Under that, Mayor Nuremberg says large public gatherings are prohibited.
To limit the spread of the virus, the declaration of public health emergency will prohibit large gatherings of 500 people or more. We are strongly advising that people do not have gatherings of 250 or larger, but if you do, you will need to take the precautions outlined by the CDC.
People who are at risk for complications are also encouraged to not attend gatherings of more than 10 people. Next week, the San Antonio City Council is expected to meet and determine if the health emergency should be extended for 30 days. The Bexar County Courthouse is also adapting. Bexar County District Court Judge Peter Sakai says no one will need to report for jury duty for at least the next 30 days.
So anybody who's been summoned for jury duty to the end of April are not required to come to the courthouse. And so they can properly ignore the jury summons. At the end of April, we'll reassess to whether we extend that order or not.
Bexar County civil courts have announced that court dockets will be limited to only essential matters. And Bexar County Sheriff Javier Salazar says efforts to reduce the jail population, which can reach up to 4,000 people, will be made in the form of requesting personal recognizance bonds.
We're going to be sending a memo out to the judges asking them for help in clearing out that jail population. If, you know, there's people that are there. I've made no secret of this. There's people in that jail that don't belong there. We need to find other ways to do things. And so we're going to be asking the judges for help in getting people out that just don't absolutely need to be in jail right now.
Bexar County Court at Law Judge Rosie Gonzalez announced she would self-quarantine. Earlier today, a defendant appearing before her later told a sheriff's deputy he had been in contact with a client who recently returned from Italy.
I encouraged my staff who I could encourage to self-quarantine, to take some time off with me. I was going to take the next 2 weeks off and not have any contact with anybody other than my wife, who has decided to self-quarantine with me, so I'm not alone.
Gonzalez serves in County Court at Law Number 13. A statement from the Bexar County District Attorney's Office says the defendant did not meet the criteria for screening, and quote, "As far as we know, no one present in County Court 13 this morning has been symptomatic or tested positive for COVID-19. I'm Joy Palacios in San Antonio.
The coronavirus has caused several major events to be canceled, like the South by Southwest Music Festival in Austin, as well as the rodeo in Houston. Earlier today, we learned that Fiesta, San Antonio's iconic 10-day citywide celebration held every April, will be postponed. TPR's Dominic Anthony reports.
Fiesta has been around since 1891 and has previously been canceled only during World War I and World War II. This morning, the Fiesta San Antonio Commission held a press conference. Fiesta 2020 President Jeannie Travis spoke first.
We have concluded that the tradition of Fiesta must continue, but on different date. November 5th to November 15th.
But that time of year is crowded with other events, like Dia de los Muertos at the end of October and the Christmas Riverwalk lighting ceremony at the end of November. San Antonio Mayor Ron Nirenberg says he's not worried about any conflicts.
Is San Antonio a town that can't have more than one party at the same time? We have defied that reality for our entire existence. In fact, I would tell you sometimes it's hard to figure out where the fiesta begins and ends because we're in a constant state of community celebration. What we're saying is that we're going to take precautions necessary to protect your health.
Fiesta is a huge opportunity for musicians, artists, and photographers to make money and get exposure.
We're always very excited for this season. It's our biggest, busiest season. So we're eager to get back on stage and enjoy, you know, being with our fans again. It's such a, you know, in this medium, in this art form, it's especially for lively Latin music. There's a lot of dancing, a lot of, you know, big and closed crowds. And, you know, we feed off of that energy.
Jaime Humberto Mejia is the band leader and songwriter for San Antonio band Volcan, which took a break over the winter and had about 8 events lined up, including 4 official fiesta events. The band won't experience the economic impact of the postponement because they have advance deposits from most of the events. But that isn't the case for everyone.
You know, our hearts do go out to our fellow musicians and other members of the community that are being, you know, affected by this economically in a heavier way, definitely.
The Fiesta Commission says the event has an economic impact of more than $340 million each year. Fiesta Executive Director Amy Shaw says the postponement shouldn't hurt that.
Well, 75% of the people who attend Fiesta events live within 50 miles of San Antonio, so that's the bulk of it. November weather is pretty sweet in San Antonio. I think the average temperature is about 75, and there are only 4 days of rain in November on average, so it might be pretty good.
Some epidemiologists have warned that the coronavirus could subside over the summer, but then return in the fall and winter, like the flu.
We will be hand in glove with Metro Health and the city of San Antonio like we have been for the last several weeks, and just keep watching it.
Like South by Southwest, the Fiesta timeframe also includes a number of unofficial events. San Antonio officials say no city-owned venues will be available to them, and the Fiesta Commission says they won't provide insurance. But questions remain about whether or not those unofficial events will continue as planned. I'm Dominic Anthony in San Antonio.
With the cancellation of South by Southwest, the Houston Rodeo, 4 conventions in San Antonio, and the 7-month hiatus of Fiesta, the state has seen well over $1 billion tourist dollars either lost or delayed. TPR's Paul Flav has more on the impact coronavirus is having on San Antonio and Texas's economy.
The news of Fiesta being delayed and with it the $340 million in economic development it brings is just the latest in a string of bad news for San Antonio. 4 conventions have been canceled, including this morning the Craft Brewers Association. With its 11,000 attendees, it was expected to bring $8.7 million to the local economy. Another 6 conventions have let Visit San Antonio know they would postpone. They vary in size from 1,000 to 10,000 visitors. And that's just one industry. The slump in oil prices, still around $30 a barrel, have economists expecting layoffs if something doesn't change. Then there's the continued interruption in supply chains and the impact to Texas exports, an area it has led the country in for 15 years.
It's slowing down trade, and of course the supply chain ties into that too.
CEO of the Texas Association of Businesses, Jeffrey Mosley.
And so we're really being hit from several different angles on the economy.
Mosley was relieved to hear that Governor Greg Abbott and President Donald Trump declared disasters. The move could give small and medium-sized businesses access to low-interest loans or even better, grants.
We're hopeful also there'll be some grant funds available, because quite frankly, it's hard to repay a loan if you've been knocked to your knees.
Trade, tourism, and oil are not industries exclusive to Texas, and increasingly these big shocks could cause secondary cascades of failures throughout the country, says University of Texas San Antonio economist Tom Tunstall.
Students now carry in excess of $1 trillion in student debt that the U.S. debt is at record levels. You know, there are other potential triggers, and again, it'll be kind of interesting to see what if there is another shoe to drop, what that might be.
A cascade that could send the U.S. into recession. I'm Paul Flav in San Antonio.
Dr. Ruth Berggren, infectious disease specialist at UT Health San Antonio, stopped by The Source here at TPR earlier today to offer some practical everyday tips to reduce your risk of catching the coronavirus. Her first tip is easy in concept, but surprisingly difficult in practice. Stop shaking hands.
Just this morning, I had the occasion to meet with a number of professionals in the city of San Antonio, and everybody stuck their hands out to greet me, whereupon I responded by putting my hand over my heart and giving a gentle bow with a smile. Everybody is still shaking each other's hands. Stop shaking hands. That's a good way to transmit virus.
Dr. Berggren also described a precautionary measure called social distancing. It's a simple idea. Don't get up close to anyone if you don't have to.
We want to be 6 feet apart, ideally. That's kind of hard to do in even small social gatherings like we have five of us sitting around here. But there is a basis for that. It's not invented. So social distancing is an evidence-based way of decreasing your risk. But what else that means for us practically is avoiding gatherings that are not necessary. And this might be tough for some people to really want to deal with, but going to church is an example of where you have large groups of people coming together, frequently older people. The folks that are over 60 are vulnerable.
Another practical tip is to always keep some cleaning supplies on hand, for example, during a trip to the laundromat.
So there shouldn't be a problem with using the washer and dryer per se, but if it's a high-touch surface area that multiple people are using, what you might want to do is wipe down that surface with the household spray that you're using to clean your kitchen counter. Ideally, it would be something that has bleach in it. For instance, the countertops at banks where lots of people go. Those should be wiped down on a regular basis.
Berggren also said that UT Health System has established a mobile virus testing unit, which should increase the city's ability to gather information about where the virus is spreading. This is the first of its kind in the state.
The idea was that first responders and healthcare workers would be prioritized. So we don't want the entire city of San Antonio at this moment to get in line and go drive through for a test just because it might make them feel better. This is still a precious resource, and we need to deploy it in a way that's rational.
Up until now, only a few hundred people have been tested in Texas. Berggren said the city still has very limited capacity to test for the virus.
We need to focus on people who have symptoms that are compatible with the disease, right? So it would be people that actually have fever, and fever is defined as a temperature of greater than 100.4 degrees Fahrenheit, a dry cough and feeling sick, but not just a runny nose. Imagine how we overwhelm our system and waste our tests if we don't have some order.
Health officials are concerned about the medical system getting swamped by too many cases too quickly. So Berggren says practicing safe hygiene will slow down the spread of the virus.
I believe that we will see quite a few more cases in San Antonio. I am an optimist. I believe that in San Antonio, we can listen to each other.
Berggren also wanted to remind listeners it's still a good idea to get a regular old flu shot. Well, as many of us are working from home and are thinking twice about leaving the house, the easiest thing to do is just order delivery. So, of course, the people who make those deliveries are just as busy as ever. TPR producer Ben Henry rode along with one pizza delivery guy who didn't want us to use his full name because he was nervous about talking about the outbreak while on the job.
What's your name?
Ken.
Ken?
Yeah.
Hey, how many deliveries do you think you're going to do today altogether?
Maybe like 20 deliveries.
Do people seem concerned about coronavirus?
Yeah, I think everybody's concerned because you can see this downtown and it's not really busy. Like, nobody wants to go out.
You're wearing a mask right now.
Yeah, because I have to go to a public place, the mall, the store, you know.
So what's your routine? Like after every delivery, do you use some hand sanitizer?
Yeah, anywhere I go, once I go to any restaurant, I use it frequently.
Are you worried?
Yes, I'm a little bit worried. Yeah, I'm worried because the news, everything, all the basket, everything is shutting down. Six Flags is shut down. Some schools out of the state is shutting down.
Do you think it would get to a point where you would want to stop working?
Yeah, if it's really bad, I ain't got a choice than to stop working because my safety comes first.
Stay safe, man. Right, take you. Care. And thank you for the pizza.
You're welcome. Bye.
That was TPR producer Ben Henry. Well, the news out of Seattle has been grim. Since February 26th, people who lived at the Life Care Center nursing home there have died. At least 13 people tested positive for COVID-19. Several others haven't been tested, so that number is likely higher. People who live in nursing homes are more vulnerable to COVID-19 than anyone else, and nursing homes across the country have been paying attention and preparing for the day the virus comes to their town. TPR's Bonnie Petrie visited a nursing home in San Antonio.
Susie Lopez has lived at Morningside Manor for 4 years. She's 79, and she's heard about the new strain of coronavirus.
Well, yeah, my sister told me. It's in the hospitals everywhere.
But Lopez says she's not worried about getting COVID-19.
No. No, I'm not.
No way, right?
No way.
We're right here. She says she feels safe and well cared for. Plus, she got a flu shot, so she's not worried about that either. But the director of nursing services at Morningside, Tara Barr, says watching the news out of Seattle get worse every day has not been easy.
I mean, it's scary, and I think that's why we're trying to be very proactive here.
Because if a virus gets into a nursing home, it's difficult to stop. It can move from resident to resident as quickly as wildfire, ravaging elderly patients who are often in fragile health to start with. There are 90 people living at Morningside, and infection prevention measures start at the front door, where a sign asks, "Feeling sick?" then requests that those who have a fever or cough to not visit and suggests they send a card, email, or gift instead. Morningside President Pat Crump meets me by these signs. He explains it's been a crazy couple of weeks.
Every morning we're getting new updates from the CDC and all of the bodies that regulate us. It's definitely an evolving situation.
These agencies regulate and offer guidance to those who run long-term care facilities on everything from infection control to preparing for staff shortages. But it's the folks at individual facilities who have to implement those plans, starting with the nurses who most regularly interact with the residents, like Natasha Hughes.
So with me, I learned their routines. So what something may not seem normal to you might be normal for them, but what might be kind of normal might be abnormal to me. Like, you know what? She doesn't cough like that normally. Let me go ahead and check temperature. Let the doctor know. We might do some lab work just in case.
If a resident appears to have a respiratory infection of unknown origin, Nursing Services Director Barr says they'll isolate them and call the medical director.
If the physician says send out, we would send out. And if the physician said keep them here and try to manage, then that's what we would do.
So send out means send to the hospital. But depending on how this pandemic plays out, Crump says that might not be an option.
In this situation, we just don't know what the hospital's capacity might be. If they're getting slammed with lots of admissions, then they might not even be able to take folks, potentially.
So they're also preparing to keep sick patients here, which puts staffers at greater risk of picking up the virus. About 70 staffers at the Life Care Center in Seattle have tested positive. Crump says the policy at Morningside is for sick staffers to stay home. But a lot of people work when they're sick because they can't afford not to. According to Pew Research, more than 33 million people in the country do not have paid sick leave. So not working means not getting paid. So what does Crump say to sick staffers who want to know if they'll be getting paid for sick days?
If you're showing any evidence of symptoms, then we would just encourage you to stay home. So the answer to your question is yes.
Staying home is one way to protect the patients. They've also started taking the employees' temperatures before they clock in. These measures are a big ask in an industry that struggled to manage infections. 75% of nursing homes in the United States have been cited for failing to properly monitor and control infections in the last 3 years, according to a USA Today analysis of federal inspection data. And every year, around 38,000 people die of infections in long-term care facilities. Morningside Nursing Services Director Tara Barr says if her loved ones lived in a long-term care facility, she'd have a lot of questions.
What is their, you know, emergency plan, and how are they on supplies? What are they planning on doing, and how are they planning on handling if there were an outbreak? I think those are all important questions to ask.
At that nursing home in Seattle, where 26 people died, this virus hit before anyone was ready, and it ripped through the nursing home before they knew what was happening. Now we know. And now is the time to ask those questions. I'm Bonnie Petrie in San Antonio.
All Bexar County school districts will be closed next week to help limit the spread of the coronavirus. TPR's Camille Phillips reports several charter networks and private schools will also be closed.
For now, the districts have decided to extend spring break 1 week. They will decide whether to stay closed longer at a later date. Barry Perez is in charge of communications at Northside ISD, which serves more than 100,000 students.
The decision that was made and announced today was not an easy one, and certainly not a decision that we took lightly. And I know that we certainly took some criticism, I think, for waiting as long as we did. But at the end of the day, the reality is that many families count on us. They count on the district for providing reliable and safe supervision while they work.
Vanessa Hurd is the Chief External Relations Officer at San Antonio ISD.
It's clear to us, and by us, I mean not only SAISD, but all of the schools in Bexar County, that we can best be a part of slowing the advance of this virus and therefore protecting our communities by temporarily closing schools.
Hurd says San Antonio's prohibition on gatherings with more than 500 people played a key role in the decision.
And while that excludes schools, you know, we want to make sure that we're doing everything we can as a community to slow the advance of this virus.
One of the major concerns for area districts is ensuring that the thousands of children who receive free and reduced price lunch don't go hungry while their schools are closed.
School is really much more than just school. I mean, it really is a place where many social services are also distributed.
Perez says Northside will distribute meals curbside at several locations throughout the district.
We've tried to make sure that we have a system in place where contact with other individuals will be minimized. We understand that that's a concern.
SAISD and other districts are putting similar plans in place. Parents can go to their school's websites to find specifics of times and locations. So far, the 16 Bexar County school districts have only canceled school for 1 week. They will use the time to figure out how they can keep some form of learning in place if they need to stay closed longer. Perez says Northside will give families hotspots to connect to the internet if they need them. SCISD has more families without access to the internet, and Hurd says they will most likely need to use a mix of online learning and old-fashioned paper workbooks. I'm Camille Phillips in San Antonio.
The San Antonio Archdiocese has closed Catholic schools for 3 weeks. You can continue to follow the latest on the coronavirus pandemic at tpr.org.